It's often the little things, small behaviors, that can change our lives. That's the power of a financial edge. I'm Ed Meek. I'm a financial advisor with a passion to help you retire early, save more, and live better. Welcome to Ed's Edge, the podcast to help you live the life you've always wanted. When I retire, I want $1 million. Or is it $1 billion? Why do I want $1 million or $1 billion?
You know, that's a good question. If those of you that just saw that, Ed put his pinky up to his mouth and made a little Dr. Evil impersonation.
Austin Powers,
right? So we're dating ourselves with that movie, but such a great clip. You know, a lot of clients have a number in mind of what they want to have at a certain stage in life. And we believe that is the wrong focus. The right focus should be more around what we want to be doing, what we enjoy, and how that's going to look before we think about the numbers.
It's not that the dollar amount, we don't have, we don't pay attention to that. What we do is we don't want you to just come up with a number in your mind and think that's what I need. It happens a lot. In fact, the $1 million, we haven't quite got to the billion. I haven't had anybody come and say they need a billion. But the $1 million, or they use it in that kind of increment, becomes a focus. While we want to get the pot that we've always talked about as big as possible, we need to work our way backwards and find out what is it and when is it that you want to accomplish, everything you want to accomplish when you retire.
You know, it makes me think about the ING commercial where people are walking down the street and they're saying, you know, what's your number and what's your number? And they all have it on their forehead. And it's all should be a certain number. Well, yes, I mean, numbers will tell a lot. But if we don't pay attention to our goals first, when we want to retire, what retirement looks like, where do we want to live, how do we want to spend our time, these non-financial pieces to the puzzle, then the number's meaningless. Because there are people who have $200,000 in the bank and enough stream of income where they're fine for the rest of their life doing what they want to do. There's other people who have multi-millions and still need to keep working to accomplish what they want to accomplish. And so the number, it's not as critical at first as you might think.
That's why we really want this podcast to be about your goals. And we all hear about goals and we know they're important. We all know that it's essential to figure out, oh, I want to retire at a certain time. But if we can focus on those things and determine, and sometimes people don't even know like the age, they kind of have in their mind, but if we can start figuring out some of these super important things and work our way backwards, then what we'll be able to do is let you know, maybe not the exact number, but let you know, like, when can you accomplish it? And so if we focus on goals, and there's different types of goals, there's also different types of how the goals are set up. Are these needs, meaning you'll eventually want to live a life when you're retired to pay your bills, food, clothing, shelter, where I'm at. But then there's other goals that you may have that are not necessarily needs, but they're wants. I would like to go on vacations when I'm retired.
Golf every other day.
I would like to, you know, one that I actually have been more attuned to because of recently becoming a grandparent just a year and a half ago. And now, second time, 3 weeks ago, my daughter had our second grandkid. Everybody in the office is so tired of me talking about this. I literally keep showing pictures to everybody. I apologize, but I'm going to keep doing it. So
you have an excuse.
But what I have realized is some of these wants that we have, people don't even think about it. And I'll bring it up to them. When they think about their goals, sometimes they miss them. And I say, well, you want to make sure you're okay, but what about the grandkids? You don't even have them today. But at some point in time, you will. Do you think you want to help them with college? Well, oftentimes they're like, oh, yeah, we definitely want to help them with college because we were helped, or my parents helped our children, or whatever the case may be.
Yeah, yeah. You know, everyone's goals are different. But at the end of the day, it's really important to write them down and also be on the same page as your spouse with goals. Because when we have the husband and wife come in and they all have different numbers in mind and how can we grow this pot, what have you, we ask them, what do you want to do and when and what does that look like? And we often get two different answers. And that's okay. That's why we need to talk it through before we talk about money and what it needs to be doing. Because, you know, if you envision a roadmap and you're saying, I want to drive as fast as I can and go on vacation. Well, where are you going? I don't know. We need to figure out where we're going first so we can drive the vehicle the right way.
So the first three main goals, kind of the ones that most people focus on, and there's some others, but are buying a house, saving up for a house, getting enough for that. There's college. If you have children, wanting to make sure that we can build up some or enough for college, or at least help our children in college. And then the last one is getting the nest egg to a point where we can use that to live off of for the rest of our lives. They're all important. We focus on them a little differently. How we achieve those is a little bit different, but they are interrelated as well.
Yeah. And those are the three common examples that we hear from people. There's many more. My brother-in-law has a big goal of becoming a country club member. That's a short-term goal too. And so whatever those are to you, when you get on the same page with your spouse, they're going to have different time frames associated with them. Mm-hmm. Buying a house is a pretty short time frame. It might be 1 year, might be 5 years from now, but a shorter time frame. You know, saving for that down payment, for example. Saving for college is a little bit longer. Your children's college, as an example, there, 15 years, if they're 3 years old, something along those lines, 15-year time horizon. And retirement might be 20-year, 25-year time horizon. It all depends, again, on what's important to you. But based on those time frames, that's going to help you understand how much risk should I take with the money I've earmarked towards those goals, and how much do I need for each of them?
Once we figure out the goals, then we can accomplish them a lot easier. The biggest one that people will come to us on, sometimes they figured out they already have their house. Sometimes they're on track for college. We maybe need to tweak that. The one that you can have the most influence over because it's a longer goal, it gives you a longer runway, is this goal of getting the nest egg. Again, we don't focus on trying to get that dollar amount like we were talking about. We're trying to focus on getting you set up in a way where if you can set enough aside, what you can do is you can do this on your own or with your financial professional is then work a bunch of different scenarios. There's some awesome software out there that will allow you run different scenarios that will tell you 80% of the time, 70, 90% of the time, we know that if you do these things at this age, you can stop working, live off your investments, live off of Social Security, and really answer that ultimate question, right? It's the mecca question of it all. It's, can I live off of the different sources of income from my investments for the rest of my life without worrying about running out of money? Not having a concern about that. Now, people will say, how do you know that for sure? Well, nobody knows for sure. I often say, I can't take out the Armageddon scenario. Like if something happens that's never happened before. But if over the next 20, 30, 40, 50 years, life kind of works the way it has somewhat historically, the stock market grows, our economy continues to grow, we can implement a number of things that can really help you hone in on figuring out pretty close to what age you can live the lifestyle you want. If you want to live off of $50,000 a year or $100,000 or much more than that, it's not just finding that dollar amount. That's really not as important. It's doing these other things.
Yeah. And, you know, as you're talking about all these goals and the mecca question, can I live the standard of life I want and not have to worry about running out of money? Often, We see this all the time. I'm guilty of it too, personally. Often we pay attention to the wrong short-term things in the world and lose focus of our goals, which is why writing down your goals, figuring out what is truly important to you in the big picture will help eliminate some of the noise. Let me give you an example. Inflation. Inflation is high right now. And, you know, things at the grocery store cost a lot of money. Look at gas prices. Look at all these problems that are happening. Oh, I should sell my stocks because, you know, they're going down, or I'm going to take my profits and protect my money, and I'm going to need to pay more. That is noise in the grand scheme of things. Yes, it's important to pay attention to inflation. We're not mitigating the fact that inflation is higher than it was a couple years ago. But if you're saving for retirement, and you have 20 years, you have 20 years to go, this is a bump in the road, if that. I wouldn't even call it one of those speed bumps that you go by. It's a little crack in the road. So we tend to overreact to things because, again, you listen to the media, what do they want you to do? They want you to overreact because then you're going to watch tomorrow.
We see people do this a lot. We're just encouraging you that almost always this noise, It really is noise. And if you can avoid paying attention to it and focus on these goals, focus on what things you need to do to accomplish these. Some of them are short term. How do I invest the money for that goal? Buying a house, buying something else, putting a down payment on a boat, whatever the case may be. You got to focus on the goal, come up with a game plan for that. Same thing with college. Same thing with retirement. Separate them. Then do I invest it? If you looked at the other podcast that we did on investing in a 401k, we said there's different buckets. One is a taxable bucket. That's for some of the goals. Some of them it's tax deferred bucket. It really depends. So you want to make sure you segregate the goals and then you find the right investments and then you invest it in the most appropriate way. I mean, just yesterday, one of the goals, friend of mine. So I went to the Bulls game yesterday. Bulls, it's amazing. I've been a Bulls fan my whole life. They're really looking good. I think as we speak right now, they're in first place. Who knows where they're going to end up being, but it's encouraging and it's exciting. So I went to this Bulls game with a buddy of mine who I've known since, I don't know, maybe like 10 years old. Really smart guy. He's put a couple kids through college. Actually, second one's in college. He has five. And I gave him one idea, and he didn't realize some money he could save in taxes by using a 529 plan in a particular way. And so for that reason, just understanding what ways can I accomplish some of these goals, it's helpful to talk to your financial advisor if you don't know all of the ins and the outs on your own.
Yeah. And circling back to being on the same page with your spouse when it comes to goals, cannot stress enough, write it down, prioritize them, and then furthermore, understand when you want them to happen. That should give a lot of clarity into how much money you need, when you need it, how much risk you're taking, you know, how much money you should sock away now, what you should sacrifice now. All of these items, again, are non-financial related items, but they direct to the finances. So it's not just about that number.
You get the gist, right? I think you get the gist. Stay the course and then revisit them. Revisit these goals. Maybe once a year is helpful, right? Even the shorter term ones, the moderate ones. But if you focus on this, and you don't have to spend a lot of time on it, but if you do this right, appropriately, just like we said in the past, it can sometimes make a big difference. If you do the college thing right, I'm not kidding you, you might be able to pay for an extra semester of college by taking advantage of doing it the right way. You might be able to retire a year or two earlier if you just do a couple of these the right way, if you have the money in the right buckets for tax purposes. So it's not that I was saying, it's not that that dollar value isn't important. It's important, but just focusing on that only and thinking that's what I, we've had some people recently that we have worked with who thought they needed to get to a certain dollar amount. We actually ran their scenario. They thought they needed to work a couple more years. We're like, actually, you're...
If you want to quit now, quit
they
now.
They hit that Mecca situation that we're talking about. They were actually able to retire, and it was really like they were shocked. Mm-hmm. And the reason was because there was just some things they didn't take into account that was a little bit better for them. Now, that's not going to be the case for everybody, but that's why it's important to kind of focus on these goals and get a good plan in place.
Well said. Well, with all of that said, I think it is time now for Ed's Food for Thought.
I love this time.
What do we got in the
docket? Why do I love this time, James? I love it because I love food.
What's on the docket today?
It's a recipe. And it's a recipe I came across about 2 years ago. So the church I go to has this wonderful thing where when families oftentimes have babies, we got a lot of families that have babies. When somebody has a baby, they create kind of a food meal thing where every other day, maybe 2-3 days a week, people will volunteer to make meals for the family because, right, I mean, they got sometimes another kid or two kids and they got this infant. And as we all know, like, it's chaos when you have that baby. So I love to cook. So I love to make a meal. And it's generally like Susie and Sarah and Ed, you know, like all the women are the ones who usually cook, but I like to cook. So the go-to meal to make for somebody else, because if you make a meal for somebody else, it's not, you know, if you make a certain thing and it gets cold, it doesn't taste nearly as good. Yeah. So this is an awesome one that the recipe actually, it makes two. It's the chicken pot pie. It's the best chicken. I've made a few of them. I've come across some good recipes, but this is a good chicken pot pie. I forgot where I got it from. Again, I told you I steal almost everything I ever come across. I'm not even sure I've come up with any of these recipes on my own. But it's a chicken pot pie I've made for numerous friends. They all love it. I'm going to put it on there. It's that time of year. We're filming this in the winter. I encourage you to make it. And I just popped in my head right now. If anybody contacts me after watching this or listening to this, and you're within striking distance of my house, next time I make it, I'm going to make an extra one. And if you, the first three people, I'll make one for you.
Who said there's no such thing as a free lunch?
Yeah. You're exempt. You do not qualify for that.
Oh, that's good to hear.
So right. Chicken pot pie.
not your typical Marie Callender chicken pot pie, huh?
Uh-uh.
All right. Well, wonderful. Please take Ed up on that. I want to see that happen. So he has to cook more. And I'll steal some from you then, since I can't get my own. But with all that being said, thanks again. Hope you enjoyed this episode, and we'll talk to you next time.
Focus on those goals.
Thanks, everyone.
This podcast represents an assessment of the market environment at a specific point in time, should not be relied upon as investment advice, and is not intended to predict or depict performance of any investment. Any specific recommendations or comparisons that are made as to particular securities or strategies are for illustrative purposes only and are not meant as investment advice for any viewer.